go ahead and open our Bibles up. Let's open them together to First John, the epistle of 1 John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Go ahead and grab your outlines, get that out. I'll give you a moment to kind of work that out, and I'll make some noise up here and talk a little bit to just give you some time to find 1 John. That's toward the back of the Bible, if some of us are there, you know, that kind of thing, but that's okay. So 1 John is John's first epistle. It's not the Gospel of John, it's 1 John. We're going to look at chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Get your outline out. It's good to follow along in the outline. Got some good stuff in there, some good verses in there. For me, my conviction in my heart, I just like to put some verses in there as we go along. For me, that's what I'm doing as I'm studying what God is saying. I'm going through other verses and bringing in the whole counsel of God's Word to really affirm on my heart that I'm understanding what God is saying is true. And so I put some down there, and so those are there for you. So as we find our place, what we're doing, today's message is entitled, God, How God Manifested Himself. That's what we're going to look at today. As we've been moving along in our Advent series, our focus has been on God's desire and design to reveal himself to us. That's what we've been looking at. It's been a great study, and we got a few more to go on. We began to look in Psalm 19, where we saw God's revelation of himself in creation. Pastor Tom did such a great job of that as we learned and looked at that in Psalm 19, God's revelation of himself in creation and the revelation of himself through his word. And that was a great study. The next week, we looked at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, where we saw the superiority of God's revelation through his son. And that was God speaks of complete revelation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We had some revelation, we had partial revelation, we had a lot of revelation, but we didn't have a complete revelation of God, who he is, why he came, what he did, the character, the nature of God, speaking through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we looked at that last week. Today, our purpose is to examine the revealing of God through the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's in 1 John 1, 1 through 4. God manifested himself, that word made visible, revealed, saw it, made visible, revealed through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has been manifested in no greater way, no bigger way, no more in-depth way than through the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He just hasn't been. He never will be. This is the greatest look, the greatest manifestation of who God is. God became a man. The incarnate Christ, all the way God, all the way man, so we could know him. And the Apostle John is just ecstatic about the first four verses of this letter, about what I'm just talking about right now. And it reminded me of a story I've told you one time before. So you got to hear it again. You can go, oh, the same story. No, but you know, I told it at Christmas time, and it's a great story, and it really points to the purpose of this text. It really points to 1 John 1. 1 through 4, it really ties it in together, and it's really a great story to bring that in. And so I'm going to tell it one more time, and I sort of promise I won't tell it again. But it's about a family having Christmas Eve dinner and a small flock of birds. The story really points and focuses to our passage today. But I want to do something, okay? Children, look at me. I want the children looking at me. You adults can look at me too. You don't have to turn away. But I want you guys looking at me. I'm going to tell this story. And I want you to tell me at the end who it's talking about. Okay? Can you guys do that for me? That's a big yes. Let me hear. Oh, come on. Bigger than that. Will you guys tell me at the end who he's talking about? There you go. Okay? So I want you to listen closely. Okay? Listen to the whole story. And like I'm talking about, this is really a great picture of what John is trying to express in these first four verses. Here's the story. There was a family preparing to eat a dinner on Christmas Eve. They're getting everything going. You guys know how that is. Mom, dad, and three children, ages 11, 8, and 5. We won't give them any names to protect the innocent. Okay, they were excited in helping each other. You know, like you do, but this is Christmas Eve dinner. You know, the thing getting together and all the stuff going on. And they were all excited about getting dinner. They had the Christmas songs going on, and they're playing in the background. And, you know, all the goofing off is going on, and all of the fun's happening that's happening. You know, I want you to really visualize this. I want you to see this. The house was decorated to the hilt for Christmas. You know how that would look. However your house looks and all of that, you got this. You know, Mom says we hang this every year in... Come on, Mom, again. All of that, the traditions you have, everything. Just think about that. In this home, it's all going on. It's right before dinner. The fire was roaring in the fireplace. Dad got it going good. He likes to do that, right? He likes to get a big fire going. because it's really cold outside and there's a snowstorm. It's like 20 degrees. It's 25 mile an hour winds. They're pushing against the front door of the house. Snow's hitting it. It's really cold. So Dad stoked the fire. You can see the scene, can't you? Think about that. You're standing outside the house and there's a big picture window, a big one, and you're looking from the outside in and you're looking at the family and all this going on and you're seeing it all. And that's what I want you guys to see. And so that's happening. That's what's going on. And as they sat down to the meal of turkey with all the trimmings, maybe some of you like ham. I like ham, so. Dad led the family in prayer. Told the family, let's bow our head and thank the Lord for the food that he's provided, all that we have, what resources God has given, and he's praying. And it's Christmas season, so you know what Dad puts in and all of that. Thank you for the home and for Christ. And then the 8-year-old son chimes in with, right in the middle of the prayer, we want to thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying on the cross for our sins. That's the prayer. And now they begin to dig in, and you know how that goes, and pass the cranberry and get this, and you have to have vegetables and all of that. And then the discussion is about what's that big thing under the tree? Whose big thing is that? And all of that. And are we going to put the stockings up? And all of that's going on, and they're eating. And then a loud thump. Dad hears a thump. The whole family hears a thump from the entryway of the house, but it's not the door. It's something banging against the house. So Dad stands up, and he rushes over there thinking, oh, the wind is blown a tree, or, right, dads, you know how we are in the panic mode that we get. What's happened to our house? What's went on? And he runs over there, and he opens the entryway, and whoo, the storm blows in, 25-mile-an-hour wind, snow's coming in. It blew right in, and he could see up in the corner of the eave a small flock of birds. And they're banging against up in the eave and trying to get out of the storm, and they don't know what they're doing. And so Dad shuts the door. And so he talks to the family and he says, what are we going to do? What can we do to help the birds get out of the storm and get out of that? And so they discussed, and it was decided what they were going to do is they would all bundle up, and Dad would run to the barn and he'd swing the barn doors open. And he'd turn on the light, and the rest of the family, as best they could, would try to persuade and coax the flock, this little flock of birds, to go to the barn where safety's at. Go over to that light where it's at. Get out of the storm. Go over there. And they worked really hard, and the kids were throwing sticks and rocks, and Mom was, they were trying to coax them in and go over to there, and it went on for quite a while, and the family wore down, and they got frozen. And Dad came over to the entryway and said, it's not going to work. Let's go inside. And once inside, they returned to their meal, and they were kind of disheartened, and they were trying to warm up. And the 5-year-old daughter said, if I could just become a bird like them, I could lead them to the safety of the barn. Mom affirmed the daughter, said, I'm sure you would have led them to that safety, honey. Kids, who am I talking about? Who came and became like us? God did, didn't he? He became like us, and he to lead us out of the storms of life, to lead us into places that were of the blessing, of the light, of the warmth, of the comfort of God. He came to lead us, didn't he? And he came and he became just like us. What's his name, you guys? Jesus, right? See, that's what John is expressing in this story. When we talk about how God manifested himself, he came like me and you. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you're like? Do you know in your humanity, all the things that you have in your heart and mind, all the things that you are as a human being, all the things that we have in this life, God himself said, I will come down and I will become a human like you. That's how God manifested himself. Yes, in creation we see God. Yes, in the Word of God, incredibly, that's what we study. We see the truth of God's Word right here. We see the truth of God, all of who he is and why he came, who he is and what he did. We see the revelation of God in his Word. But there was a time when the revelation of God was in humanity and he came so we could behold the glory of God in a human being. That's what John's excited about. That's what we're going through in our journey, as we will get to a couple of more places as we go along. We're going to look at that today. The story points to the excitement, the story I read you, of the Apostle John's words in verses 1 through 4. I want you to listen to them. Hear what I just told you. Hear it in his voice and what he's saying. He writes this to the church family, to the body of Christ. He says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested. And we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard and proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. John is talking about God manifesting himself, becoming visible through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at our text, I gave you some things in your outline to kind of hang some thoughts on. I just kind of worked through the text and wrote some things down, but so we can follow along. First, John writes, what was from the beginning? Now, who is he identifying? He's identifying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. What was from the beginning? That's what he's talking about. He was from the beginning. He didn't have a beginning. He was from our beginning. He's identifying who he's speaking about. He's referring to Jesus, the Son of God, like in his gospel, of John's gospel. He's declaring the one he saw, the one he heard, the one he touched. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was what was from the beginning, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, all the way God. And then John writes in 1a and following, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the Word of life, and the life was manifested. Did you hear what he said? What he had seen and heard and touched. That's what he's wanting us to grab hold on to, the Apostle John, in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we would say is the gospel message. You share the gospel message to the people, our loved ones. We want them to come to faith in Christ. You share the gospel message. You share the person and the work of Christ. John is saying, I touched him. He's saying, I held him. I listened to him. I talked to him. He held me. We talked. It's the gospel. He's saying it was alive. It was human. It was there. It impacted his life. All of these verbs are in the perfect tense, meaning past action. I heard him, and then it affected me forever. I had a continual effect from hearing Christ. I saw him. I had a continual effect in my life of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. I touched the Lord. I had a continual effect. That's what he's saying. I seen him. I touched him. God has come as a man and lived this life, died on a cross, rose again for our salvation to all that believe. And I saw it all. I touched it all. I heard it all. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? That's the message of Christmas. That's the message of Christ. That's what we're talking about. That's how God manifested himself. This isn't a story. This isn't a make-believe. This isn't something that anybody that you talk to can say, well, okay, those are just words. No, this is reality. Because you know where the reality is hidden? It's hidden right in here. Is it hidden in you right here? Have you heard the Lord Jesus Christ? Give me an amen if you've heard the Lord. Oh, that's not, many of us don't hear very well, right? Have we heard the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Right, we heard him in his word. We heard him speak to us. We've heard him in our soul. We've heard him. That's what the truth of God is. This isn't mystic. This isn't like, oh, woo-hoo stuff. This is reality. God speaks. He's spoken to you. He's spoken to me. I was unsaved at 33, and God pierced my heart with the truth of the gospel and said, Ken, I am here. He's done that to each and every one of us in our own way, some this way, some that way. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard the Lord. And John is bringing the depth of it in and saying, well, I've really heard him. And he knows what hearing the Lord is. I heard him, I saw him, I touched him. Like you heard and saw and touched the person you greeted. That's why I said take notice. Who did you greet? Go in your mind's eye. Who did you say Merry Christmas to? Who did you say, how you doing? What did they say to you? Did you hear what they had to say? Did you touch them? Some of us feel a little pungy or whatever. That's what John is referring to. He's wanting us to capture in this, in his word here. He's saying, that's who I'm talking about. It's the gospel, but it's the gospel that's alive is who he's talking about in humanity. It's the person and work of Christ. We share the gospel. We give testimony to the gospel. We live the gospel. God wants us to be human in our expression of the words and the living and the saying of the gospel. Not just words to say, humanity to express in the Lord Jesus Christ. They beheld the glory in humanity, John 1:14. For 3 to 3.5 years, they heard his sermons. I'm a pastor. I'd like to hear one of the sermons. I read them, and I hear them. I hear the Lord speak. They heard his teachings for 3.5 years. They heard his stories, his laughter, his crying. God was manifested, became a human. They heard his prayers to the Father. They heard him pray. They heard his message. They heard his truth. They heard the word of life speak. They heard him speak to the storm and it stopped. They heard him tell demons to flee and they ran. He heard to speak to the dead and it rose up. And it had a profound effect on their lives. A continual active effect. That's what he's expressing to us. God came as a person and did the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in humanity. They seen all that he did. They watched him care for the sick. They watched him love the outcast. They watched him confront the Pharisee. They saw him feed the multitudes, nurture the children, speak to the children, walk on water. They watched him suffer and be mistreated. They saw his response. They watched him be crucified. They saw him be resurrected. They not only heard the gospel, they watched the gospel live and die and live again. That's what John is trying to express as he brings out in here. That's what he's trying to us to see, for us to understand. This is the truth of God's word. God came as a man. Then the apostles touched him and saw him. They touched him. They shook his hand. They hugged him. John helped him up a mountainside. He laid his head next to the Lord Jesus right on his chest during a meal. He touched him after the resurrection. The gospel made flesh. And John writes, the word of life was manifested, was made visible, to be heard, to be seen, to be touched. John 1:4 says it this way, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ is the word of life. And John held it and heard it and saw it. That's incredible, isn't it? And ever since then, he's been proclaiming the person and work of Jesus Christ in humanity as the gospel. And ever since then, people have been coming to faith in Christ, trusting in him, giving their life to the Lord, the Holy Spirit coming in and dwelling in them, and in their life, in their walk with the Lord, in some fashion, in some manner, in some reason, in some way, you are starting to see the Lord in your life, to see the Lord at work in the world, to hear the Lord, to touch the Lord. It's happening in your life. No, we don't touch the humanity of Christ, but we touch humanity, each other, with the truth of Christ, the reality of Christ, the new life that we have in Christ. That's what God's plan and purpose has been from the beginning. That's why Christ came. That's why he was in human form. That's what's going on. You see the realness that I'm trying to bring out of the text, don't you? The realness of Christmas. This is what he's wanting us to see. This is God, how God manifested himself. God present in human form. And John writes in verse 2, look at it with me, he writes this, and the life was manifested. And we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. He says eternal life was made visible. Eternal life, the life of God. Have you seen eternal life made visible? Have you seen the life of God in your children? Have you seen the life of God in your spouse? Have you seen the life of God in your church family? Have you seen the life of God in somebody else when they come to Christ, or when they're living for Christ, or they're making decisions that are based on God's word? You see the life of God in our lives. We see it. We we in a sense interact with it. We know the life of God and what it is. Eternal life is this, what Jesus said in John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That they may know God the Father, that they may know the Lord Jesus Christ as you have sent, to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's what it is to have eternal life, is to know God and be in God. John says that was made visible right before our eyes. We looked at it. We held it. We touched it in the person of and the work of Jesus Christ. We would all agree now, and it's in a spiritual way for us now. But in reality, that's what the relationship that Paul is talking about in Philippians 3 when he said, there's no greater thing than the knowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is to uplift us today. This is to encourage us today. This is not to put in our heart and mind, I don't have that all the time. That's not what I focused on this week, all of that. God knows all of that. God is here to speak through his word to encourage us. What are we going to remember today about God's word? What are we going to carry on till next week and following, and then we gather together and hear God's word preached? What are we going to carry on? What it's going to affect our lives? He saw eternal life. John wrote in chapter 5, verse 20, at the end of this epistle, it's the front of your bulletin. This is a good verse to talk about, and we know, I put my name in there, and Ken knows. You might ask yourself that and talk about it in your family. And we know that the Son of God has come, and he's given us understanding. The Son of God came as a human being. We'll talk about next week that he was born as a baby and all of that, but he came as a human being, and he lived a life. He lived a life that we can see all through the Gospels, all through the Word of God. And he gave his life for a ransom for me and you. I know that's not the text, but I'm adding to it and just thinking about what he's saying. And I know that the Son of God has come and has given me understanding so that we may know him who is true. That's God. And we are in him who is true. That's God. In his Son, Jesus Christ, we are in God. And this is the true God, the only God, the real God, the God of the universe, the God that speaks, the God that came in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And this is eternal life. This is knowing him. This is what it's about, guys. This is our life. This is what it is. God has manifested himself so we could know him and be safe in him and have eternal life. The barn door is wide open. And he came to lead us into the safety of the bosom of the Father, if you want to put it that way, in the life of Christ, because we become in him when we believe in him and have a life of knowing him and have it forever. And John says, I heard him and saw him and touched him. Look at verse 3. And what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, interesting what he says here. And so, what we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you. What I've seen and heard of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what I've touched, what I've known, what I've experienced of a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you. That's what he's talking about. The reality of that, I've walked with the word of life, that I've walked with the gospel, that I've walked with Christ, I proclaim to you. That's what we're looking at. We proclaim to you so that you may have fellowship, is what he's talking about. Fellowship, a sharing in this common life for God, of knowing God, of being safe, of being separated from sin and separated from self and separated from the storm, if you want to say it in that way. Now, certainly we proclaim the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, his gospel, the life that's found in Christ. We share the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ with those that don't know Christ. We do that, right? That's what we do. We share that. We are a testimony of that. We're sharing that. But in the text, let me give you something interesting. He's not writing to any unbeliever. John is talking about this personal, intimate relationship he had with the person and work of Jesus Christ in the flesh as humanity. And he saw the gospel. He lived the gospel. He touched it. He heard it speak. He saw it work. And it has this effect in his life. And now he says, and I want to proclaim it to you also, believers. I want to proclaim it to the church. I want to proclaim it to you guys. I want to tell you about Christ. I want us to focus on Christ. So you and us will have the fellowship with the Father and with each other that God wants us to have. That's a share in the common life. That's the connection. That's the koinonia. It's a very deep and big word. He's talking about us, church. He's talking about us that we would share how God's at work in your life and how God has ministered to you and how God has purposed you and how God has spoken to you through his word. How have you seen the Lord at work in your life? How have you heard God speak about some things in your life? How is God working in your life? Those kind of things. He's saying that. We want to share it with each other. We want to proclaim it to each other so we can have a deeper, more intimate, shared common life, fellowship with God the Father and fellowship with each other. See, that's Christianity. That's the church. That's the body of Christ. He's ecstatic here. These words are from the top of his lungs. He knows that there's people that say other things. He knows that there's others trying to sway him away. I'm not even going to focus on any of that. What he's saying from his tiptoes is, this is life. And it helps us not to be drawn away what's not. He's saying it draws us into a deeper fellowship with God the Father. I'm writing to believers, to you and me, and saying, I proclaim to you the reality of the Lord Jesus being revealed to me, proclaiming the continual effect of knowing Christ intimately, so your fellowship with God and your fellowship with believers would grow. You speak the truth in love. If you want to take a small verse on what he's talking about. We talk about Christ and about God at work in our life. So our fellowship draws deeper with God and with each other. You see what you heard in God's word, what you see in God's life, and what you touch in God's way. With the intimacy of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you share with others so your fellowship grows. That's what he's talking about. Although we don't touch him now and see him now, or hold him now, or hear him now like the Apostle John did. Anyone truly walking with the Lord knows the reality of fellowship with God and proclaiming it. It's encouraging, isn't it? The life that God has given us, on what he has made it be like. And John is expressing this as he opens up his letter. In the prologue of four verses, not much different than the 18 verses in John's gospel. And I just kind of lightly touched on what's there, but we have to get to verse 4. Look what he says in verse 4, and our joy is made full. Listen to what he says, and where these things we write, it'd be good to say we communicate. You can write them, you can share them, you can talk to each other about them. He's writing them to a church. If he was there, he would be speaking it to the church. So we say these things so that our joy will be made complete, that our joy will be made full. Complete's a good word there. And sometimes we need to get into the depth of the joy that God's talking about. Let me give you a definition of what the joy that he's talking about. You can't go to the Webster Dictionary and look up joy and say that's what that word means there. Here's the definition of the joy that John is expressing here, the joy that Christ is expressing, and all through those verses I put in there, that I told you these things and I shared these things with you so you would have my joy or your joy would be made full. That's all through the thing. So what is joy? What is it? It's quite deep. Listen to Martin Lloyd-Jones as he summarizes the sort of joy which we're talking about. He says this, joy is something very deep and profound. Something that affects the whole and entire personality. In other words, it comes to this. There is only one thing that can give true joy, and that is the contemplation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He satisfies the mind, he satisfies the emotion, he satisfies my every desire. He and his great salvation include the whole personality and nothing less. And in him, I am complete. Joy, in other words, is the response and the reaction of the soul to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's joy. And John says, I share the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. Like mine, I can share it with you. He saved me and rescued me and delivered me and lifted me up out of the miry pit. He placed my head upon the rock of him. He guides me and leads me. He forgives me. He sustains me. He's patient with me, long-suffering with me. I am not perfect, anywhere near where God is going to take me, but I am in the journey where God is going. I sin. I say wrong things. I do things I don't want to do. But God is still at work in my life. And as I walk and follow the Lord, I ask for forgiveness. I seek forgiveness. I have to repent and confess just along with each one of you, and all of us do. Some more, some less. But what are we going to hold up? More, less in the economy of God? How high could one person get compared to God? We want to help each other and care for each other and encourage each other and be patient with each other and know that none of us are perfect and know that each one of us has to see the truth and the reality and experience the true God himself in the person and work of Jesus Christ in our life each and every day that we walk, and be encouraged in that and know that there's no condemnation in Christ, that God isn't saying, you're pathetic, you're no good, you're not right. He's saying, no, this way, my child, this way, my child. And we all know that, and we're to be patient and encouraging. We're to be the family of God, in a way, shooing each other toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And then our joy is made full. Our joy is made full. That's what the Apostle John is saying. So as we continually work toward Christmas Day and toward our journey through our Advent sermon series, here we see how God manifested himself. It's in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and aren't we glad? And aren't we glad the simpleness of just sharing Christ, living Christ, brings joy to each and one of our hearts? Let's pray. Father, we're so blessed today with the truth of your word and just the excitement in John's words here. We know that you wrote this word from the very heart of the Apostle John, the one that was said, identified as the one that loved Christ. He expresses how he intimately knew our Lord in his humanity. He expresses through all out his writing how we can each know the Lord Jesus Christ in that way. Now we can grow closer to him and have deep fellowship, deep communion. In reality, we thank you for where you're headed in each one of our lives. We praise you, God, for bringing salvation to us. We thank you for this time of year and for Christ coming and for all that this truly means in our life. We thank you for the church family and who you've brought us to and connected us with. Continually work on us, Lord. We know you will. Help us with the desire, Eve, like we prayed today. We just give you praise in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're dismissed for today. Merry Christmas.